Which brings us to oysters. Dr. Wesson.
Sir. For the new commissioners, I'm Jim Wesson. I'm the Department Head for Conservation and Replenishment in the Fisheries Management Division and do mostly oysters. And I guess some of you saw the newspaper today. We got some good press today on the oyster harvest that continues to go up. These are preliminary figures. We'll probably go up higher than that. And this is, shows the track over the past 14 years or so. But what we're talking about here is the blue. We're talking about the public fishery, which is going up. And maybe not quite as fast as aquaculture, but we're certainly holding our own with the public grounds. What we do in July is we have a discussion on what we're going to be having for the fall seasons. And the obvious thing is we actually set seasons. And we also have to tweak things to keep things running smoothly. Our seasons are actually becoming somewhat accepted and rote in that they are, a lot of our areas we are doing rotations, so we know what's coming up the next year or two years, depending if it's a 2 year or 3 year rotation, which is good for the waterman, the plan. It's also good for us when we do stock assessment because we can project what will probably be there. Just if you look at this, it's not as complicated as it looks when you start, if you're a harvester and you know you're doing certain things. But little changes that we've made here that we haven't done before is out here on seed orchards in the James River, we always get requests for an extension, so we're actually adding a month of May for that in this year's regulation. And on Seaside, where all the harvest is by hand, literally they're picking it up by hand, it's not a very big harvest, and they're probably our worst reporters. But it looks like we can easily add a month there. So those two areas, we're actually extending the season a little bit. I'm getting to the right. We have three rotation areas. This one shows a map of the Rappahannock, and this year we'll be opening Area 1, which is down here off Deltaville, and Area 6, which is up off of Urbana. It just in general, what we've seen from stock assessment, and we do stock assessment in collaboration with VIMS, we do quantitative stock assessment. We should have a pretty good year this year, very similar to last year, because we had good spat sets in 2010 and 2012. So we know Area 1 has quite a few orchards. It'll be a good harvest in Area 1. Area 6 doesn't generally get a very good spat set naturally, so it won't be great, but it'll be as good as it can be with, 3 years rest. This rotation in this river is 3 years. So basically, each of these areas is only open for 2 months of harvest out of each 3 years. So they're closed harvest 34 months, open for 2 months. In Tangier, we have a 2 year rotation. And the area that will be opening this year is Area 2, which is split. There's a little bit of it in Tangier Sound over here, and a big part of it in Pocomoke Sound. These areas got a good spat set in 2012, and they have more oysters than we had in Area 1 last year. And then the last area that we're rotating is actually, if we had done what we're supposed to do, we have a rotation between the York River with two areas and Mob Jack. We've had 2 years in New York. We're supposed to go to Mob Jack, but you can see here that our standing stocks show that we're having difficulties in Mob Jack. We cannot get it to turn back around, even though we've done shell planting here. So for this year, we're going to skip Mob Jack and come back into a 2 year rotation. And since we did Area 2 last year, we'll be opening Area 1 this year. And, try to give mobjack some more time to rebound. We planted shells last year. We were a little late planting shells, so we hope we'll get a spat set this year. Also, just in general, 2015-16 will probably not be as good as we've seen the past 2 or 3 years because we didn't get a spat set in 2011 that was very good, and we got a really bad spat set last year. And that's pretty much bay-wide. So as we get into some of these other discussions, it's one of the reasons that we have to be so careful on managing our limits, managing our small orchards, because it's going to be critical that we take care of what we have this year for people to have something to catch next year. If they harvest a lot of small orchards this year, it's going to hurt us even more next year because if you're just under three this year, we want to leave them so that you have something to harvest next year because we don't have very much coming. Now, what we see on shell strings this year is that VIMS does shell strings in three of our rivers, in the Piangtang, Great Wicomico, and James, is that we've seen pretty good spat set for certain in the Great Wicomico and the Piangtang. Things are okay in the James, but the James tends to be later in its spat set than we see in those other two rivers. So that's encouraging. Usually if we're seeing good spat sets in the Great Wicomico and the Piangtang, it's pretty good indicator that we'll see okay spat sets everywhere else. So that's encouraging. But we do have our problems, and our problems have come from our success in that as our harvests have gone up, our harvesters have gone up. And that's partly because we have more to catch, but it's also tied up with other fisheries that are not doing so good. Crabbers that used to harvest crabs right until December, now the crabbing is not very good. So they quit harvesting and they come join the orchard fishery on October 1st, and they basically stay the whole season. And that's causing us some issues, and we need to try to somehow slow that down. The gear that most of them are using are hand scrapes, even though dredges haven't increased a lot, but we allow a hand scrape, which is a 22-inch, basically small version of a full-size dredge, in most of these areas, and that's the number that in that past slide that the yellow that's increasing so dramatically. We got more than 400 of them now last year. If you look at just the harvest by gear, the hand scrape is catching the lion's share, but the combination of the hand scrape and the dredge, the only place we can use the dredge is in Tangier and Pocomoke. Everywhere else uses a hand scrape, and they account for 82% of our harvest with these two gear types, and we have a bunch of them. And that just shows, again, how hand scrapes are increasing with the harvest. If you, with the over 400 hand scrapes, there are actually 657 people that have purchased their Oyster Resource User Fee, the large one, which allows them to get harvest in the bay. Our seaside is separate with a smaller lease user fee, and they actually over there can only work on seaside if they get the $50 user fee. But for the guys that have the $300 user fee, which means they pay $300 for the privilege of fishing, we have 627 of them. And when you start doing the numbers, if you divide up the 627, if all of them work, they only get 38 days of work if they choose to go. So we have an issue with too many people that we've got to start working back down. And options to reduce effort can anything be from quotas to shorten the seasons, reduce the day limit, shorten the harvest day. You could change the gear, and then you could reduce the number of licenses. Reducing the licenses is something that probably we will need to do down the road, but as we look at our mandatory reporting, it's very confusing because you have a boat that may have three guys working on it, and they hop off, they hop on, and often, just like we saw that reported is in here, you don't get necessarily You get the 24 bushels reported for the vessel, the guy that owns a boat, but it's not clear of the other two guys what they got. So it's almost impossible for us to figure out how to divide things up and how to slow this down unless we switch to what we are recommending as an amendment to 610 in mandatory reporting, is that we would like for the oyster harvest that every harvester that harvests that day actually does his own mandatory reporting. So we start getting counts on individual people, how many people are work. Maybe there's a big bunch of them that don't ever work that we can get that latent effort out of the fishery at some point. But we've got to have better reporting that we can figure out the effort. We're recommending that we set a control date to go along with this, and it wasn't any sense in us setting a control date prior to starting everybody reporting. So we're requesting July 1st of this year as the control date, so that a person would know. We put that in regulation that if you go get a license after that date, you may not necessarily be counted in the calculations for who would be able to fish in the future. So you do it at your own risk. So really limiting participation this year is pretty much out of the question for us. So we have to figure out some ways, or at least recommend some ways, to slow the effort down in the meantime. And we're recommending that we switch from right now, and this is only for the dredgers and the hand scrapers, that instead of a 2 o'clock end of the day, it would be a 12 o'clock end. And this will just slow the amount of time that they're out there as the season progresses and it gets harder to catch. You don't say then you grind for all day long. It's a more likely you're going to take small oysters, damage oysters. And we have problems actually at the beginning of the season of people getting two limits. Things are so good at the beginning, when you got to 2 o'clock, they'll go offload one place, they'll come back and catch another limit, and they'll offload a different place, and you don't even see that. So we're recommending at this point that we go back to noon. So you start from a half hour before sunrise until noon. And if you look out over our areas, there's hardly anybody that's ever out much past noon. It's just to try to, at the end of the season, when it drags on in these areas that are open for 2 months. The first month, everybody's in early, and then as the second month, they drag on a little bit longer. The other recommendation we have is to, right now, we allow 24 bushels per boat, and we're recommending going to 16 bushels per boat. Again, as a way to shorten the harvest day, and there was some concern that thought that would increase the number of boats, because the threes will jump and so each one of them will jump on another boat and they'll make another boat. But if you look at what we've seen in the number of people coming into the fishery, most of the new people coming in are just jumping on boats with other people. They don't have boats. They don't have access to boats. And the actual number of boats that have three people is a very small percentage, certainly less than 20% of all of those. Most of the guys, because we're working on 8 bushels, because these areas, they're easy at the beginning, but they get harder to end, they've already made that decision to go to either 8, work alone, or work with 2 guys, because it's very hard to get the 24 bushel limit by the end, and it's somebody you wouldn't have to pay. So this is just kind of solidifying what the industry is mostly doing on their own right now of going back. This number of hand scrap license is partly reflective of the fact that they tried the threes, 3 people on a boat where they only need 1 license, and they found that they do better with 2 or they do better with 1. And so we've got a whole lot more boats working. So I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of benefit of that, but the last ones out there were always the ones trying to get the full limit for 3 guys and as the season progressed. The other thing that we're struggling with is that last year, after a whole lot of debate and working with the committee, our Shellfish Management Committee, we move to allowing the oysters to be placed in plastic baskets. The old way had always been that you harvest it all day. You could have one basket on the boat for measuring your 16 bushels, and you just put them in a pile, loose. And then when you got to the dock, like you did like this guy, you shoveled out and counted out from there. And it's actually a good idea to let them use bushels, baskets, and to put their harvest in it right from the beginning. It makes it quicker for them. You know, you don't have to handle them a second time. But the problem we found is that we got abuses with the system that we weren't anticipating. And in a lot of the areas, the guys did so good that it's a shame to be penalizing the ones that were doing right. And we're going to get a lot of public comment soon. I'm sure that if anything, in August when we come to the public hearing, that's going to be what we're going to hear most. We're also having a Shellfish Management Committee meeting tomorrow, and we'll hear most about this at that, because everybody was really happy with the baskets. But what they were doing to law enforcement was that they, as the season progressed and there got to be less market-sized oysters, they started sorting on the boat their small oysters, undersized, less than 3-inch oysters in baskets separate from the market size. And if law enforcement would approach, they would just dump the little ones out, and then they look like they're okay. So they would pass the call. I mean, it was so bad in some cases they were coming in with no baskets. They had dumped everything at the end of some of the seasons. So, and we just can't figure out a way of around that without going back to the pile so that the law enforcement would have time, officer would have time to come to the pile, take a sample out of it, and check and see if they have small oysters. And the loss of small oysters is basically stealing from the guys for next year, and this is going to be really important this year with us, knowing we got a bad spat set in 2013. And they don't just, if they're successful and they get it away, it's a loss, but it's just as bad a loss when they dump them out in front of somebody, because oysters only survive well on the oyster rock. And if you're on the way in and you see somebody coming to call you and you dump them off anywhere, you're usually dumping them in mud or somewhere, and they're going to die there just as if they would have gone out for harvest. So we're at least recommending advertising for going back to the open pile. You know, we'll hear what the industry has to say about that tomorrow, along with the going to the shorter day and 16 bushels per boat. And we'll also be, telling them about the mandatory reporting. The final thing that we've got to incorporate into a regulation this year is FDA, ISSC, who tells us how to harvest oysters as a compact safely, is requiring that every shellfish harvester by 2015 be certified in shellfish harvest safety training. And we have come up, this is a screenshot from our website where you can go, in order to get any shellfish license, clam or oyster, in harvester license in 2015, you will have had to take this course. It's about 45 minutes, self-directed course where you just click on the buttons as you go through it. And it gives you the education. When you hit the end of the thing, it prints out a certificate for you, and it populates our licensing system and says you're okay to get your license. So it's they'll have almost 5 months to take this course. It's on our website. We put on our website Sea Grant and the Department of Health has been helping us by having some open meetings that people can come to. We've had 3 of those so far, and about 250 people have already taken the course in those meetings. We're advertising 3 more meetings for the end of July and August on our website now. So, I mean, we'll pick up a bunch of people, and if they want to just come sit in a room and let us flick it for them, that's fine. We just get their name and their ID number, and then we enter it in the system, and it populates that they've taken the course for them. So we still know we'll have people on December 31st coming in here that haven't taken it, and they're going to have to go back home and take this thing at home or go to a library or something, but But it's a requirement by FDA that we can't get out of. And it'll last for 2 years. So once you take it, and they're actually going to be working on trying to make it last more than 2 years. The dealers only the dealer one is much more complicated, and they only have to take it but one time. But for some reason, they're requiring the harvesters to take it every 2 years. And we hope that at the next ISSC meeting, they can get that extended. Once you've taken it, you've taken it. So that's what we're requesting that you advertise for us, those amendments to it's four different regulations there. The 4VAC 2720, which is our harvest season one. The 4VAC 2260, which is the one on the baskets. 4VAC 201230 is the one on the shellfish safety training. And then the last one is 2610, where we're going to require the oyster fishermen on public grounds to each person to do his own mandatory reporting. So any questions? Yep.
Ms. Haney.
Orange baskets.
Yep.
I know there are always going to be a few watermen that abuse the system, but don't you think even with that, if we change that regulation, they're still going to have some type of container on board. They're going to throw the small oysters in and still throw them over.
That's certainly possible, and
they were working.
We'll be certainly listening to the comments tomorrow night. You know, it's very frustrating for law enforcement in these situations. And last year, it was particularly bad last year. And, you know, there was an open market last year for small oysters that they would pay actually more per bushel for them than the market one. So it's out there tempting these guys all the time. And I don't know if, you know, I hate to penalize the good ones, but we will see what everybody has to say tomorrow.
Ms. Hanna.
Even the ones that were selling their 8 bushels per person legally, from hearsay, there would be other containers on board that would go elsewhere with the smaller oysters.
Yep.
I mean, is what we're doing really going to solve a problem?
It's always a cat and mouse game.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully some of the deterrence of taking some of these people out of the fishery is getting the word out, and that will help solve it all, because like in everything else, I mean, 90% of the guys are doing right, but you're trying to penalize for it. And I'm not 100% sold that we need to switch, but law enforcement is, and so we're certainly going to advertise it and have that discussion again.
Mr. Erskine.
Well, I agree there will probably be a lot of discussion about this and other things, but and they could have other containers on the vessel, I'm sure. There's always a way around it, right? I mean, you could hide small oysters in the bottom of a pile,
yeah.
You know. But we're enabling this activity to take place by allowing baskets on there, or any containers for that matter, to put small oysters somewhere that are only going to be dumped overboard or into mud, or worse yet, not protect our industry long term. So I'm a believer that if we have to protect the future of this thing and move back to the pile, then that's what we should do. I'm sure there'll be a lot of discussion about it, but I think it's worked for several people, worked for certain vessels, but the people that are doing the wrong thing, it's too easy to come in with an empty boat and empty baskets and dump over bushels and bushels of small oysters. That's doing nothing for the resource or the industry long term, and especially important with poor spat sets. So I think it's something we got to think long and hard about.
Let's see, Tar.
This is another area I don't know anything about. Is there what you're talking about deals with only the guys that are commercial oyster harvesters, right?
On public ground. This is all public ground. This is not aquaculture.
Is there a recreational opportunity for people to just, you know, like if I wanted to go get 12 oysters or whatever, is there a place that I could do that on public grounds?
Well, the code says you can catch a bushel with no license.
But where?
Well, that's not very clear, and we're after having discussions in tomorrow in another meeting on these code sections. But what we tell people during the season is that you can go where the harvest is by hand or by hand tong. You cannot go get a hand scrape and go catch your one bushel. and the code says that. But what our concerns are right now are that our industry is under such time constraint in the summertime to make sure that you do everything. All our guys now are in by 10 o'clock, or they're on ice with their oysters. And because if we get any cases of Vibrio vulnificus or Vibrio perihemolyticus, that if we get enough cases, they can stop the entire state from taking, from marketing oysters that haven't been treated by some kind of post-harvest treatment. And when you start talking about a person that goes and picks up oysters on the shore, if they're going out now and they don't know anybody and they go out and they pick up at low tide at 12 o'clock, they put them in their garage, those are the ones we'll get. If somebody gets sick from that, even though the rest of the industry that's commercial is doing everything perfect, we still get that charged against us by the FDA, and it could shut the state down. So it's very dangerous to harvest oysters improperly in warm weather. And so, you know, the suggestions are now that possibly the code sections that it should say that in that code section where it says you can go get a bushel, it ought to say during the legally prescribed harvest seasons, because then we will have set the guidelines on when they should be getting their one bushel. So, Joe just reminded me that the buyers and the harvesters would be reporting those individual landings. So that's how we're trying to get some handle on the effort.
Mr. Bradley.
Has the health department commented at all on any possible benefits to the orange totes or bushels baskets, providing better cooling?
When we instituted it last year, they were fine with it. It was no issue.
Right, but if there were any possible benefits to doing it, there's more space between the oysters as opposed to being. I think it'd be interesting to hear some comments from them.
Once you go into October 1st, you're beyond the months where we have to be in by any time limit.
Right.
And so our seasons are way before. You have to be in by dark, and we don't have any season that goes that late.
Okay.
So they don't have an issue for, like, heating oysters up or anything.
Right.
So.
Any other questions from the commission? Just as an observation here, I expect we're going to have a busy meeting next month on these matters. It's a request for a public hearing for advertisement for a commission public hearing next month here. Is there a motion to...
Motion to approve request for public hearing.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Haney, second by Mr. Zedron. Any discussion on the matter? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. All. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Dr. Weston.